Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly, the films, All of Us Strangers, Memory, and Poor Things.
I'd like to start off today by talking about All of Us Strangers, and this is a really good and really interesting movie that sort of took me somewhat by surprise, but it's a really, really solid piece of work. I'm very impressed by it. It was directed and written by Andrew Hay. He based it on a screenplay on a novel, but he's the screenwriter. And he is best known for dramas that deal with gay issues. Particularly, I would mention a movie of his a few years ago called Weekend. But not always. There's also a very, very fine movie, also a few years ago, called 45 Years, which does not go in that direction. All of Us Strangers does go, again, in the direction of gay romance. And on one level, that's what it is. It's a romance between a couple of men, but it is so much more than that. And even though the movie starts out making us expect that to be the whole subject of it, it turns out to be almost an undertone in the movie because so many other things are going on. So here's what happens. At the beginning of the movie, we have what sometimes in Hollywood, this is not exactly a Hollywood movie, but what sometimes in Hollywood they call a cute meet. There is a false fire alarm in a big apartment building in London, and one of the residents goes down to seek safety, which isn't really needed, on the sidewalk out front. His name is Adam. And when he gets back to his apartment, he finds another guy who actually did not exit the building during the fire drill, a guy named Harry, who has come to just knock on his door. They're total strangers. And Harry sort of comes on to Adam. I guess you're gay, and can I come in? I got some booze here. Let's have a drink. And Adam says, no, I don't think that's a good idea. But a little bit later on in the movie, they do get together, and they actually eventually do become a real couple. There's a couple of sex scenes in the movie, which I will mention. So, they become a real couple, a very intimate couple. However, something else happens, and that is that Adam, who is really our main character here, he's the one who we saw at the very beginning of the movie, he's a screenwriter, and he's been working on a screenplay which apparently isn't going anywhere. And he, looking for inspiration, I suppose, he looks at some old photographs that he has, including a photograph of the house where he grew up. He decides to go back and visit that house. So he goes back and he visits the house, and it turns out, who does he run into but his parents? There they are. Now, they actually died years earlier in a car accident, but there they somehow miraculously are, and he sort of takes that for granted. Oh, my gosh, what a surprise to see you. And they ask him all kinds of questions about what he's been doing and what he's been up to. His father seems to take everything pretty much in stride. His mother is a little bit taken aback to discover that he's gay, but she supposes that's all right. And this becomes really the main relationship in the movie. Adam's visits with his parents, who apparently are long dead, but who appear to be looking alive and well, and by the way, looking certainly no older than he is, in the old family home, and sometimes outside it. So that's what the movie is. And as the movie proceeds, it becomes, I think, quite unclear. Actually, it's pretty unclear from the moment this starts to happen. But it becomes quite unclear as to whether perhaps Adam is slipping into some sort of psychosis. Is something like that happening here? It could well be. These could be hallucinations that he's having, very vivid ones. But since we sometimes see him sort of waking up from sleep, either on a train that he travels back and forth on to get to the family house, or just in his own bed. Maybe these are just dream sequences that we're seeing in the movie. And the movie's, I think, refusal to ever make this entirely clear is one of the boldest things about it. What the movie ultimately expects us to do is to take all of this in a very impressionistic way, a very non-literal way, a way that is partly realistic. Certainly it's all depicted in quite a realistic way, or maybe maybe part dream, maybe even part hallucination. It's never really quite sure. And the movie eventually comes to a pretty indeterminate conclusion. It never really pins down itself in one direction or another. So that's what All of Us Strangers is about. And I think it's based on the notion that all of us in this world are strangers. We're strangers to other people. We're also strangers to ourselves. But we can certainly get to know one another. He certainly has this what appears to be quite a successful love affair going with Harry when he isn't busy visiting his dead parents. And of course, his relationship with them, in a way, they're strangers to him, in a way, ultimate strangers. They're dead, but then again, they're not strangers at all. Certainly his memories of them are very much alive. Certainly his relationship with them, even if it is all in his own imagination, appear to be very much alive. So that and those are the subject and the themes of All of Us Strangers. It's a beautifully acted movie. Everybody is excellent. And I got to single out Andrew Scott as Adam, our main character, who I think is just one of the best performances I've seen all year of any kind. And I think that this is really one of the better movies that I've seen all year. Next year, I'll be giving my 10 best of the year list. And it's very possible that All of Us Strangers will end up on it. It's really quite a lovely movie. And I just had a wonderful time watching it. And I found it very absorbing. And I highly recommend it. All of Us Strangers, written and directed by Andrew Hay, a really, really fine movie. Next movie today, Memory. I'm not so fond of it, although it certainly is a considerable piece of work. This movie was written and directed by Michelle Franco, a Mexican-born director. And in the past, the movies that have stuck most in my mind of his tend to be very edgy and even fantastical. A movie called New Order, for example, which is really very much of a sort of a very realistically told fantasy story. Sundown. Another movie which has fantastical elements in it. So Memory doesn't really deal with that sort of fantastical element, but it deals with a very unconventional relationship again, which is maybe the theme for today. So Memory focuses on a woman named Sylvia, and she, by the way, is beautifully played by Jessica Chastain. And she is a social worker, and she's also a recovering alcoholic. She hasn't had a drink in years and years and years, but it remains very much at the center of her life, her thinking about this, her knowing that she has to deal with this one day at a time. She has a young daughter, an adolescent daughter named Anna, beautifully played by Brooke Timber. And one way that her recovering alcoholism figures in is that she's very, very concerned that Anna, her young daughter, not go anywhere near alcohol. She won't let her go out with friends at night if there's a chance that at this party somebody might be drinking beer. So it's very much a part of her life. But that's not what the movie is about, because very early in the movie, she goes to a high school reunion. And there, a young man comes, played by Peter Sarsgaard, in what I think is the finest performance in the whole movie. A young man comes, sits near her, and just looks at her. Just sits near her and looks at her. And so one thinks, I certainly thought, well, now, he's apparently another person at this high school reunion, and he must remember her, and maybe she doesn't remember him, which is why she isn't looking back at him. But she doesn't say, oh, by the way, I don't remember you. Who are you? Instead, she gets up and leaves because she is very discomfited by this guy sitting there and just staring at her. So she leaves, and she goes home, and he follows her. He follows her to the subway. This is all in New York. He follows her on the subway. And he follows her almost up to her door. Well, she's very upset by this. And, of course, she knows that she has to somehow deal with this one way or another. Well, I won't tell her everything that happens. But eventually, she gets to know the guy. And not too far into the movie. His name is Saul. And it turns out that even as Jessica, as her the way she makes her living, she works at a sort of adult daycare center for mentally challenged adults. Saul himself is mentally challenged. He is not that old a man. He's just middle-aged, really not old, played by Peter Sarsgaard. But he has dementia, and the dementia comes and goes. Sometimes he's just fine, and he knows everything he's doing, and he lives a reasonably successful life, even though he has to be looked after by a relative all the time. But then sometimes the dementia comes on him. He has times when he can't know what he's doing, and when he has absolutely no recollection afterwards of what he has done. So these are the two main characters. Sylvia, a middle-aged woman, a little bit lonely, who works at this adult daycare center and is used to dealing with especially men who have mental challenges. And this guy with this dementia that comes and goes named Saul, who seems like a lovely guy when he has his wits about him. And Sylvia also has to deal with her sister, who is somewhat understanding of all this, and with her young daughter, Anna, and with various other characters who enter the movie. Memory is a very well-done film. It's very nicely directed. It's very interestingly written. My big thing that sort of rubbed me the wrong way is that there are several scenes in the movie which have this very improvisatory feel to them, as if perhaps they are improvisations taking place on camera, or maybe improvisations that were done shortly before the cameras rolled as a way of developing the screenplay. I'm all in favor of scenes where people throw the script out the window and do improvisation from their own skills as actors and their own knowledge of the inner workings of the characters, but they have to be integrated into the film more smoothly than these sequences are. So what rubbed me a bit the wrong way in Memory were these scenes that apparently are meant to seem ultra realistic and somehow don't seem ultra realistic because they aren't quite in the same tone as everything else that's going on in the movie, which is very well done, but which is clearly the usual sort of scripted and acted filmmaking. So I liked Memory a lot, but with reservations about this aspect of it. The fact that parts of it were tried to be the most realistic parts seemed to me to be just not quite fitting with the overall tenor of the film. So Memory is a very good movie. Anybody interested in these topics, topics of things like early onset dementia and dealing with mentally challenged people and dealing with being a successfully recovering alcoholic, should definitely see Memory. It's a very serious movie. It's a very welcome movie to have now in the holiday season because it takes our mind off all the escapist fare that's around. I don't think it's a movie that quite works, but I think it's a very worthwhile movie. And I certainly give the director, the writer-director, and all of the people in the cast kudos for doing a very, very fine job with this very serious story. And now, the last film I'd like to talk about today, Poor Things. And now I'll give a trigger warning. I am going to disagree with the great majority of critics on this movie, because I didn't like it much. This is a movie which is directed by Yorgos Lanthimos, a very interesting filmmaker who does very daring and adventurous work, which I totally salute. The thing is that I find his earlier films, a very early film called Dogtooth, a film called The Lobster, a film just a few years ago called The Killing of a Sacred Deer, which I think is a masterpiece. These are really, really, really terrific films. Then I think, back in 2018, I think Lanthimos went in a wrong direction when he made a movie called The Favorite, which is less fantastical, to use that word again today, than these other films I've mentioned, which tend to be real wild sort of fantasies. The Favorite is filmed in a very extravagant way, but it has to do with a young woman who comes into the court of Queen Anne of England back in the 18th century, and various things happen there, and is sort of a historical romance told in this very wild fashion, and I just didn't think it worked. I saw it more than once. I just couldn't take it on. So I think that Yorgos Lanthimos deals generally better with fantastic subjects. Well, Poor Things is nothing if not very fantastic, but I really don't think it works. And although most critics have been raving about it, I just didn't like it much. So what is Poor Things about? It is a very science fictional tale, and it is about a sort of a mad scientist. He seems like a nice enough guy, but he's a mad scientist, played by Willem Dafoe, so covered in makeup that you can recognize Willem, but boy, oh boy, he looks very bizarre in that wild sort of distorted face makeup. He has conducted a very extraordinary experiment, which we only learn about as the movie gets into its earlier scenes, not immediately, but yeah, fairly early in the film. What happened was that he was interested in sort of creating a sort of artificial life, and he comes upon a woman who has died, unfortunately, abruptly, who is pregnant. So what he does is he delivers the child, which was almost ready to be born anyway, and puts the mind of the child into the adult body of the woman who has just died. So we now have what appears to be on the outside a grown woman, played, by the way, by Emma Stone, but in her mind is the mind of a little tiny baby. And he is raising her as one would raise a child, even though it's a fully grown adult body. And other things, science fiction type things, are going on around the edges as well. The main character, the main male character, Dr. Baxter has to keep himself alive with artificial means also, and that's going on. And anyway, various things like that. So the movie really starts to pick up when the Emma Stone character, Bella, her name is, when she gets seduced by, when she grows old enough to start to have a romance, that is, mentally old enough. She's already been bodily old enough from the beginning. She meets a young man who seduces her. He is played very well by Mark Ruffalo. So these are our three main characters. We have the mad scientist. We have the young woman who is a child's brain in an adult's body, although the brain gets older and more mature as the story proceeds. And we have Mark Ruffalo as the man who seduces her and becomes her lover. And they go off on a trip together to Portugal and other places. The thing that I didn't like about Poor Things is that, yes, it's very fantastic. It's a wild, fantastic fantasy tale, but nothing in it seems spontaneous to me. Everything seems calculated, cooked, frozen, like Willem Dafoe's distorted face makeup all through the movie, and I just didn't feel any real sense of life to it. It falls all over itself trying to give a sense of life. The colors are wild, the settings are fantastic, the acting is sort of its feet on the ground, but a little bit crazy too, but the whole thing just seemed to me to be without any genuine inner life at all. So Poor Things, against most of the critics who have been loving this movie, I have to say, I found it a poor movie. And that is my mixed story this week.
For which we thank you as ever and always, David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films All of Us Strangers, Memory, and Poor Things.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera National Theater Live and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.